Welcome to all this evening, or this morning, as the case may be. We're happy to be together today.
不管大家是在上午还是在晚上啊，都欢迎大家，我们很高兴今天能来到这里。
It's true, as I've mentioned before, many of you we don't know, but we pray that the Lord will bless you.
对，我以前也说过，来参加的大部分弟兄姐妹们，我都不认识你们，但是我们向神祷告，求主祝福你们。
We count it a great privilege to be able to study the Word of God together.
我们觉得这是我们很大的荣幸啊，我们能够跟大家一起来学习圣经。
And we're praying that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts tonight.
我们祈求神今天能对我们每个人的心说话。
We're studying together, and as we do so, we're realizing that some of the great truths of God are hard to assimilate.
我们一起学习的时候，我们也承认有些神的真理呢，是不太容易明白的。
And so we need the Lord to give us clarity of understanding and responsive hearts of obedience.
所以我们求神能给我们明白的心，也让我们能有顺服的心，能够回应这真理。
So that's what we're looking for this evening.
这就是我们今天晚上所求的。
So again, welcome to all of you. I'm not sure if any of you are new, but we welcome you especially if you're not a regular attender to these Friday night, Saturday morning meetings.
欢迎来参加的每一个弟兄姐妹啊，我不知道这里有没有第一次新来的。如果你是新来的，我们就更加欢迎你来参加我们这星期五晚上或者是星期六上午的学习。
So let's pray and then we'll get into the study of the Word of God.
我们现在开始祷告，然后我们就开始学习神的话语。
Lord, we are so thankful that you gave us the Bible.
主啊，我们真的如此感恩，谢谢您赐给我们这圣经。
But you wrote it in such a way that we need the Spirit of God to help us understand it.
但是这圣经是这样写成的，我们真的需要圣灵能够帮助我们能够明白。
And your promise is that he will, the Spirit of God will lead us into all truth because he's going to speak to us about the Lord Jesus Christ.
主啊，但是你应许圣灵会带领我们进入一切的真理，因为他是把主耶稣基督启示给我们的。
And so this is our prayer for this evening, that indeed you will speak to us and cause us all to grow in understanding, in belief, and in obedience.
主啊，这就是我们今天祈求的，求你让我们明白，也让我们能够顺服您的真理。
And to this end, we turn our hearts and minds now to you. We give thanks in Jesus' name.
我们现在就把我们的心转向你，我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Harold. And good morning or good evening, depending on where you are. We've been studying the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as he promised he would come again.
大家早上好啊，或者晚上好，取决于你在中国还是在温哥华。我们一直在学习主再来，这是他应许的，他会再来的。
The fact is his promise is that he will come again and he will not tarry. He will not hesitate. He's going to come soon. This is what he promised.
主应许的是他会来，而且他不会单言，他不会拖延很久的，他很快就会来。
But we've been looking at the questions of how he will be coming and when he will be coming.
我们一直学习的是他怎么会怎样再来，他什么时候再来。
And so we've been carefully looking at the various scriptures, and we have seen that there is a beginning when he comes, there's a course of his coming. Then there's a manifestation of his coming. Then a climax of his coming.
我们仔细查考了多处的经文，我们看到他主再来呢是分四个阶段的，首先是开端的阶段，然后是进程的阶段，然后是显现阶段，然后最后是高潮阶段。
First of all, the beginning is when he comes for the church, his own body, his bride.
最一开始的这个开始阶段呢，就是他来为他的教会而来，就是为他的新娘，他的身体而来。
And then he takes his bride or the church to heaven, and then there are some events that take place in heaven immediately following the beginning.
当他把他的教会，也就是他的新娘接到天堂以后呢，紧接着就在天上发生了几件事。
So the beginning is the rapture.
所以教会被提呢就是开始阶段。
He only comes for the church.
他来呢只是为了他的教会而来。
And the next event that takes place immediately following the rapture is the judgment seat of Christ.
教会被提紧接以后后面发生的事情呢就是基督台前的审判。
There Every Christian is going to be inspected as to their work that they have done for Christ here on earth.
每一个基督徒呢，都会因着他在这地上为主所做的工作呢，而得到奖赏。
And there, at that judgment seat of Christ, rewards are given.
在基督台前的审判的时候呢，是给出奖赏的审判。
It's not a judgment for condemnation because their sins are all gone.
这不是定罪的审判，因为他们的罪早就被清除了。
And after the judgment seat of Christ, when the rewards are given and the crowns are handed out, then takes place the wedding of the Lamb.
当基督台前的审判结束了以后，奖赏已经发出了。给出了冠冕也已经都颁发掉了以后呢，紧接着就是羔羊的婚宴了。
Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25.
我们翻到以弗所书的五章二十五节。
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And we read,Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy,And without blemish.
25-27节，你们做丈夫的要爱你们的妻子，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己，要用水借着道把教会洗净，成为圣洁，可以献给自己，做个荣耀的教会，毫无玷污、皱纹等类的病，乃是圣洁，没有瑕疵的。
Here we see the presentation of the church to Christ. And.
看到这个教会被献给基督。
And we see her now without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. She's perfect.
我们在这里也看到那个时候的教会是毫无玷污皱纹的，它是完美的。
This is the moment of our Lord's, supreme joy.
这个时刻呢，对我们主来说呢，是他极度欢乐的时刻。
It's the completion of all his redemptive work.
是他的救赎工作的最终的完全。
And then, from the presentation, we might say is at the same time as the marriage of the Lamb.
当 教会把教会献给基督的这个仪式上呢，我们也可以说就是羔羊的婚礼。
Turn to another scripture, Jude, the book of Jude. And verse 24.
犹大书就是在启示录的前面一卷书的24节，因为它只有一章，24节。
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
那能保守你们不失脚，叫你们无瑕无疵，欢欢喜喜站在他荣耀之前的我们的救主，独一的神。
God is the one who is able to keep us, and God is the one that's going to present the bride to his son.
所以神是那位能保守我们不失脚的，神也是那位把这个新娘献给他的儿子的那一位。
The church will be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, which are its righteous acts.
教会会穿上那洁白的细麻衣啊，这细麻衣就是圣徒所行的义。
We see a picture, of course, in the opening verses of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. Please turn there, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22.
我们翻到这个圣经的一开始哈，就是创世纪的二章的21节。
Verse 21, we read, And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
创世纪的二章21到23节，耶和华神使他沉睡，他就睡了。于是取下他的一条肋骨，又把肉合起来。耶和华神就用那身上所取的肋骨造成一个女人，领他到那人跟前。那人说：“这是我骨中的骨，肉中的肉，可以称她为女人，因为她是从男人身上取出来的。”
Just as Eve was created out of the side of Adam, so the church has been redeemed from the blood that flowed from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
正像夏娃呢是从亚当的肋旁取出他的骨肉造的一样，我们教会呢也是因着主耶稣基督从他自己身上流出的血而得救的，而赎出来的。
And then we read in verse 21 or verse 22 that God brought the woman and presented her to the man, and he took her as his wife.
我们看22节里面后半段他说神就领他到那人跟前，把夏娃交给他，然后他就娶了夏娃为他的妻子。
So that was the first man, Adam, receiving his wife.
这就是第一位人亚当，他领到了，就是接受了他的妻子。
And then the second man, or the last Adam, receives his bride when God the Father presents her to him in heaven.
然后我们现在看到的是幕后的亚当，就是基督，现在他也得到了他的妻子，就是当父神把教会带到他面前的时候。
Now, turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7.
我们翻到启示录的19章7节。
Just a confirmation as to the time of the wedding.
这个呢是羔羊婚宴的那个时刻。
This is at the end of the tribulation period.
这个时候呢就是在大灾难的末了的时候。
After Babylon has been destroyed.
就是巴比伦已经被毁灭了。
That false religious system called the whore.
那个大淫妇就是那假的宗教体系也已经被彻底摧毁了。
And verse 7, there's an announcement.
然后第七节呢就有一个宣告。
Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready.
这个宣告就是我们要欢喜快乐将荣耀归给他，因为羔羊婚娶的时候到了，新妇也自己预备好了。
Now the word, the marriage of the Lamb, the word has come, that is in the past tense. That means it's already a completed act at the end of the tribulation period.
这个原文里面说羔羊婚娶的时候已经到了，他用的是过去时，就说明在大灾难末期的时候呢，羔羊的婚宴已经是过去的事，已经结束了。
So the marriage of the Lamb comes after the judgment seat of Christ and before his return to the earth.
所以羔羊的婚宴呢是在基督台前的审判之后，又是在他回到地上，基督回到地上做王之前发生的。
And then in verse 8, it says, And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.
第八节，他就蒙恩得穿光明洁白的细麻衣，这细麻衣就是圣徒所行的义。
Those righteous acts, they can only refer to those things that have been accepted at the judgment seat of Christ.
这里面说的所行的义呢，一定是仅指在基督台前被接纳的那些行为。
So the marriage takes place between the judgment seat of Christ and the second coming of the Lord Jesus to earth in power and glory.
所以从这里呢就可以得出结论，这羔羊的婚宴呢是在基督台前的审判之后，又是在他回到地上做王之前。
Because his second coming, we read further down the chapter in verses 11 down to verse 16.
因为他的第二次再来呢，就是接下去的那个11节到16节所描述的。
Now the place of the marriage, of course, it can only be in heaven.
当然这个婚宴发生的地点呢就只能是在天上。
No other location would fit a heavenly people.
因为没有其他的地方呢是适合属天的人的。
We're born from above, we read in John chapter 3.
我们在约翰福音三章里面读到我们是从上面重生的。
Our life is hid with Christ in God, we read in Colossians chapter 3.
我们在哥罗西书三章里读到我们的生命是在神里面，是藏在基督里面的。
And our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20.
腓立比书的三章二十节告诉我们，我们是天上的国民。
Now, we need to distinguish between the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb.
我们需要区分就是羔羊的婚礼和羔羊的婚礼的这个晚宴，这两个是有区别的。
The marriage of the Lamb takes place in heaven, and it would seem that only God the Father and I would imagine the attending angels are there for the wedding itself.
因为羔羊的婚宴呢是发生在天上，应该只有父神还有众天使还有基督和他的新娘当时在场。
Just as when Adam received his bride, there were no other beings there at that wedding.
正像亚当娶夏娃的那一天呢，就是没有别的受造物在场一样。
But the marriage supper of the Lamb, that involves Israel and it takes place on earth.
但是羔羊的婚宴呢是在地上发生的，是以色列人都参加的。
You read in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14.
我们可以读一下马太福音的22章的1到14节。
Matthew chapter 22, 1 to 14. There is a parable of the wedding feast.
这里面就是一个婚宴的比喻。
Who are the people that are invited?Are the people that are living during the tribulation period.
这里面被邀请的人呢就是经过大灾难依然活下来的那些人。
And again, Luke chapter 14.
再看看路加福音14章。
Luke chapter 14 verse 16.
16节
There was said a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come for all things are now ready.
耶稣对他说有一人摆设大筵席请了许多客到了坐席的时候打发仆人去对所请的人说请来吧样样都齐备了。
So there was the wedding feast. As you read those parables or stories, they take place on earth. They're not a heavenly location.
所以这里面呢就是指这个婚礼的筵席。我们可以看到不论是在这个故事还是在这个比喻里面呢这个筵席呢都是发生在地上的。
Again, they don't involve the church.
而且呢这个跟教会没有关系。
If the church is the bride does not need to be invited to the feast.
因为如果教会就是新娘的话呢新娘本身是不用被邀请来参加这个婚宴的。
Turn also to Matthew chapter 25.
我们再看看马太福音的二十四章。
I do apologize for going so quickly, but if you could take the notes and look at these scriptures carefully for yourselves afterwards, it will be good. Otherwise, we won't have time to get through what we want to get through tonight.
我很抱歉啊刚才读到这提到这些经文呢都讲得比较快大家可以把这些经文呢章节在哪里记下来然后自己回去读就是如果我们把这一节节都读下来呢我们今天晚上就没有那么多的时间。
In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus, is giving a parable here of the kingdom of heaven. He says it's likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom.
在25章里面呢主耶稣在这里给出了一个比喻他说天国好比十个童女拿着灯出去迎接新郎。
Now, of course, there were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish.
然后接着他说呢有五个是聪明的有五个是愚拙的。
Again, the story is not about these virgins being the church. They are actually Israel. At the end of the 70th week of Daniel.
那这里面的这个童女呢是不是指教会而是指以色列人而是在七十个期的那个最后一个七十个期最后一个星期十个期的末尾发生的。
Because when the bridegroom comes, the idea of a Jewish wedding is the bride and the bridegroom come, the bride comes with the bridegroom. That's what they were waiting for.
因为按照以色列人的婚礼的习俗呢，新郎来的时候呢，新娘一定是跟他一起来的。
These virgins were not the bride.
所以这些童女肯定不是新娘。
But they were waiting for that bridegroom to come with his bride.
所以他们在等的呢是新郎和新娘一起来。
So Israel is awaiting the return of the bridegroom, the bride. And so the wedding feast or the supper is located on earth and has particular reference to Israel.
所以这个以色列人呢在等待的是新郎带着新娘一起回来，然后这个婚宴呢是发生在地上，而且主要参加的人呢就是以色列人。
Now it's interesting that the people that are invited to the feast, there doesn't seem to be any end to that feast.
而且看上去呢我们得出一个结论，就是这个婚宴好像是没有结束的，就是是一直持续下去的。
It would seem then that the wedding feast or the wedding supper is like a parable, a picture of the whole thousand year reign of Christ when it will be one great scene of joy.
所以这个婚宴呢我们可以把它看成一个比喻，就是象征着这一千年的千禧年的统治啊一直延续下去，是一个没有永不结束的喜乐的场景。
Now Israel is going to be invited during the tribulation period, and many of them will accept the invitation, but many will reject it.
所以以色列人呢会被邀请来参加这个婚宴，很多人接受了，也有很多人拒绝。
And because those ones that rejected it, the Jews, God says, go out into the highways and byways, and the Gentiles, then many of them will be brought in to be included in that great wedding feast of the...
正是因为有拒绝的犹太人呢，所以神才说你要到大路旁啊，到拐角处去勉强人进来，那这些外邦人就能够进来参加这个婚宴了。
And so the groom then that the virgins are waiting for, when he comes, he's going to introduce his bride to the wedding guests.
所以这些童女呢在等候新郎来，新郎来的时候呢他会向这些客人们介绍他的新娘。
And so, if you go back to Revelation chapter 19,
我们再回到启示录的十九章。
Revelation chapter 19 and verse
9. 第九节。
Then he said to me, write,Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
天使吩咐我说，你要写上，凡被请赴羔羊之婚宴的有福了。
And so, there's the invitation that goes out. That's an announcement, that will be just before, or it's an announcement that will be announced when the Lord Jesus comes in heaven, just before his return to earth.
所以这个呢就是一个婚礼的请柬啊，一个邀请。他这个邀请发出呢是就在基督回到地上之前。
So just to wrap up, it says the church then, which is God's program for this present age, It's now, the church is now seen as translated into heaven, resurrected as well, and presented to the Son by the Father.
我们总结一下啊，我们现在所处的这个时代呢，是教会的时代，这是神的在这个时代里的计划。然后呢，当教会被提到天上去，当然这个过程中所有的圣徒都复活了，然后神就把这个教会呢献给了他的儿子耶稣基督。
And the church then will be the object through which eternal glory of God is forever manifest.
所以教会呢就会成为神在永恒里面荣耀的显明的一个对象。
So what takes place after the marriage of the Lamb?
那么羔羊的婚礼结束以后发生什么呢？
There must be preparation for the return of the Lord Jesus in power and glory.
接着就是要预备好基督要带着荣耀和能力来到地上，再次来到地上。
And so in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we are introduced to some events in the throne room.
在启示录的四章五章呢，就让我们看到了在天上的宝座的神的宝座上发生了什么。
And here the Lord Jesus now is going to conduct his official duties.
现在呢我们的主耶稣基督已经准备好正式的履职了。
I'm sure that you're familiar with Revelations chapter 4 and 5.
我想大家可能对启示录的四章五章都非常的熟悉。
But here we're found in chapter 4 that there are in the throne room, surrounding the throne are 24 thrones.
在启示录的四章里面，在神的宝座周围呢，有24位长老。
And those sitting on the 24 thrones are called elders.
这个有24个座位，这24个座位上面坐着的呢是24位长老。
We can't get into a full explanation of why we believe that though this is the church tonight.
我们今天晚上呢不能详细的完全的解释为什么这个就是代表教会，这二十四个长老代表教会。
But the church has been promised that we would reign with him. Revelation chapter 3 verse 21.
但是教会们，神已经给教会一个应许，就是他会与基督一起统治，这就是启示录三章二十一节讲的。
Here's the message to the last overcomers there in Laodicea.
这里面呢，他说给那些最终得胜的人说的。
To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
二十一节，得胜的我要赐他在我宝座上与我同坐，就如我得了胜，在我父的宝座上与他同坐一般。
And they have crowns, victor's crowns, which they cast down before the Lord Jesus.
这些得胜者呢，他们都会得着冠冕，然后他们会把这冠冕摘下来，摆在基督的脚前。
And so that further identifies the elders as the church, having won those crowns, at the judgment seat of Christ as reward.
所以这也是我们为什么能够判断这个二十四位长老去代表教会，因为他们都把他们的冠冕拿下来放在了基督的脚前。
Well, you might ask the question, why is the, if it's the church, why is she not seen as the bride in this position at the throne?
你会说，那如果他是这二十长老指的是教会的话，为什么我们没有看到他是以新娘的形象出现呢？
The book of Revelation is a symbolic. The truth is brought out in symbols.
因为启示录呢是用了很多比喻的，它是一本一卷呢用很多比喻的形象的书。
The bride.Is a symbol of our close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no closer relationship that any other created beings have than the church to Christ.
因为把教会描述成新娘呢，它重点在于强调我们和主的亲密的关系。在这神所创造的所有的受造物中呢，没有谁像教会这样跟主耶稣基督有如此亲密的关系。
But here, the position of the church is entirely different.
但是在这里面呢，就是启示录四章里面呢，这教会的这个地位呢，又是完全不同的另外一个形象。
They as elders of they're seen in their official position, seated with Christ, ready to reign over the earth as and as such they are called elders.
所以在这里呢，他们是显明的一个形象，他们是在履行自己的职务，这正式的职务，因为他们要和耶稣基督一起统治。
Notice in verse chapter 5 and verse 5 that it's one of the elders that tells John that the lion of the tribe of Judah, who is no longer looked at as the bridegroom, but now he's in his official position. And so it's an elder that identifies him.
所以在五章五节里面呢，我们也看到长老中的一位对约翰在说话。所以这个时候呢，他不是以新娘的形式出现，因为他是在自己的岗位上，自己的职务当中，所以他是以长老的身份出现的。
So the church representing the elders, or the church represented by the elders, are now seated with Christ, ready to reign with him over the earth.
所以这些24个长老呢，就代表教会，他们现在呢是坐在基督的宝座的旁边，准备好了跟他一起来统治了。
And we see the lamb, the lion of the tribe of Judah, is the one that opens the seven sealed book.
我们也看到就是犹大支派的枝子大卫的根，他揭开了那七印。
That's the book of judgments.
这卷书呢就是审判的书。
That's the book that holds within it the deeds of his inheritance.
这卷书呢就是他作为这个产业的继承者呢才能做的。
The deed and the title deeds, in other words, it's his ownership. Right?
这是他的权柄，他的ownership, 他的所有权里面包含的。
So,then commences the tribulation period.
然后现在呢就开始了这个大灾难的时期。
He begins to open the seven sealed book.
因为他已经开始要揭开这印了七个印的这卷书卷了。
The 70th week of Daniel of 7 years begins to start.
那但以理书预言的最后一个七年，就是七十个七呢，要开始了。
During that time, the Lord Jesus is going to prepare the world for His return.
在这个过程中呢，他要预备地上预备好，他要使地上预备好，迎接他的再来。
So now, what's next?
然后呢接着又会发生什么呢
?What I'd like to do for the rest of our time this evening is to look at another distinction, something that's going to help us to be able to understand prophetic events.
我们今天晚上剩下的时间呢我们要来区分另外两个概念。这两个概念的区分呢能够帮助我们明白这些预言。
Now,Turn to Revelation chapter 19, please.
我们翻到启示录的十九章。
Revelation chapter 19, and we want to read verse 10.
十节。
And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Here's the sentence. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
十节我就俯伏在他脚前要拜他，他说千万不可，我和你并你那些为耶稣做见证的弟兄同是做仆人的，你要敬拜神。注意最后这句话，他说因为预言中的灵意乃是为耶稣做见证。
We've looked at a few principles that we use to interpret scripture, but this is probably the most important of all.
我们讲过一些解这个预言的经文的一些原则，但这里面呢说的这个可能是最重要的一个原则。
Keeping in mind that all prophecy is a revelation of him. That's the end and the object of prophecy, is that the Lord Jesus Christ might be manifested.
所以我们要在脑子里牢牢记住这一点，就是这里面说的预言中的灵意乃是为基督做见证，就是预言所有的目的都是为了耶稣做见证。
And we've looked at some important distinctions as well. Remember, we looked at the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God.
我们也做了一些很重要的区分，大家还记得吗？我们要区分犹太人、外邦人和神的教会。
The future and the hopes of each of those three categories are different.
因为这三群人的未来和他们的盼望是不一样的。
They're interrelated, but we must remember to keep them distinctive.
他们之间有关联，但是呢，我们要记得一定要把他们区分开来。
Some time ago, we looked at what we called the backbone of prophecy, which was Daniel's 70 weeks.
几个星期前呢，我们学习过这圣经预言的骨干啊，就是但以理的70个期。
And that gave us an outline whereby we might be able to fit all the events of prophecy into a clear package.
因为这个预言的骨干呢，圣经预言的骨干呢，就给了我们一个概览。能够把这个未来要发生的事情呢都装进去。
Remember, after 69 weeks or 483 years, Messiah was cut off.
大家还记得在69个期之后呢，就是483年的时候呢，受膏者被剪除。
Prophecy, the prophetic clock stopped.
然后从那时候开始呢，这预言的时钟呢就暂停了。
And God had temporarily put aside Israel and the program and prophecies that relate to Israel. He set them aside.
然后神呢就暂时的把以色列这个民族放到另一边，也关于他们的预言和计划呢也暂时搁置了。
And he introduced his grand master plan whereby this by grace Jew and Gentile are included into one special body that God had planned from before the foundation of the world.
然后这个暂停的这个时期呢，神就引入了他的杰作，他的最伟大的计划呢，就是这个恩典的时代，就是外邦人和犹太人都一起呼召出来做了，成为教会，这是他最伟大的计划。
And when the last believing Christian trust the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of Christ is complete, he will remove his church to heaven.
当最后一个基督徒信主得救了以后，这个教会的身体完全形成了以后呢，他就会把他的教会提走带到天上。
And then we'll begin again, the prophetic clock will start again.
这时候呢，这预言的时钟又会重新开始计时了。
And the last 7 years will witness the great tribulation.
那最后这个七年呢，就会见证了大灾难。
And then Christ will return again to the earth.
大灾难结束的时候呢，基督就会再回到地上。
So those are, then we've looked at the coming of the Lord, in the four phases.
我们学习了就是基督再来呢分四个阶段。
We've looked at the beginning at the rapture. We've seen the course, the judgment seat of Christ and the wedding of the Lamb.
我们已经学过第一个阶段呢是开始阶段，就是教会被提，然后紧接着就是第二个阶段进程阶段，进程阶段里面呢包括基督台前的审判和羔羊的婚礼。
Now, prophecy is such a huge subject that, it's difficult to unravel, much of the seemingly complicated scriptures.
因为预言呢是一个非常大的一个话题，不可能一下子呢把所有的这个关于他的这经文呢都包含进去，都讲清楚。
But tonight we're going to look at the prophetic days of Scripture, which will help us to give a useful frame of reference whereby we can place all the various scriptures relating to the coming of the Lord.
那我们今天呢就来讲这个预言的日子，这样可以帮助我们把这个所有关于主再来的这些经文呢都把它归拢起来。
There's 3 days, prophetic days of scripture.
有三个预言的日子。
There's the day of the Lord.
一个是主的日子。
There's the day of Christ.
还有一个是基督的日子。
And there's the day of God.
还有一个就是神的日子。
It's extremely important if you want to understand scripture to separate those 3 days.
所以如果你想要明白圣经的话呢，你一定要把这三个日子分清楚。
We'll start with the day of the Lord.
我们先从主的日子开始。
Now, we must understand that a day with the Lord is an indefinite period of time. It can be a long time, it can be a shorter time.
首先我们要有一个概念，就是在神的眼里呢，他的一天呢是一个不确定的长度，也可能很短，也可能很长。
Peter says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day.
彼得说呢，在神看来呢，千年如一日，一日如千年。
Now, one phrase that you'll run into over and over in the Old Testament is the day of the Lord.
在旧约里面反复提到的一个日子呢，就是主的日子。
It occurs about 25 times in the Old Testament.
在旧约里面呢出现过25次。
But there are related terms like in referring to the day of the Lord, related terms the day or that great day.
同样呢还有一些别的对这个日子的表述方法，比如说那一日那一天，那个大日，那个大日等等，这些都是指这个主的日子。
And so they occur probably about 70 or over 70 times in the Old Testament.
把这些都加起来呢，应该是在旧约里面提到呢超过70次了。
Let's look at some sample scriptures just to get an understanding of what the day of the Lord is like.
我们看一些经文的例子啊，让我们能够有一个概念，到底什么是主的日子。
First of all, Isaiah chapter 2.
先看一下以赛亚书二章。
Isaiah chapter 2 on verse 12.
12节。
Verse 10,
第十节。
Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of man shall be bowed down and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up,and it shall be brought low.
从十节读到十二节，你当进入岩穴，藏在土中，躲避耶和华的惊吓和他威严的荣光。到那日，眼目高傲的必降为卑，性情狂傲的都必屈膝，唯独耶和华被尊崇。 必有万军耶和华降罚的一个日子，要临到骄傲狂妄的，一切自高的都必降为卑。
And turn over to chapter 13.
我们再翻到同一卷书啊，十三章，以赛亚书十三章。
Verse 9.
第九节。
Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger. To lay the land desolate, he will destroy sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine.
第九、第十节，耶和华的日子临到，必有残忍、愤恨、烈怒，使这地荒凉，从其中除灭罪人。天上的众星群宿都不发光，日头一出就变黑暗，月亮也不放光。
You can continue to read those verses and those chapters, but we just want to take a few samples. Turn over to the book of Joel.
所以大家可以一直去读这些经文啊，也读这些章节，我们只是举其中的一些例子。
Joel chapter 1.
接着我们翻到约珥书的一章。
Verse 15. 15节。Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty.
哀哉，耶和华的日子临近了，这日来到，好像毁灭从全能者来到。
And then chapter 2, verse 1.
然后是约珥书的二章一节。
Blow the trumpet in Zion, a sound and alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, and so on.
你们要在西安吹角，在我圣山吹出大声，国中的居民都要发颤，因为耶和华的日子将到，已经临近。那日是黑暗、幽冥、密云、乌黑的日子，好像晨光铺满山岭。有一对蝗虫又大又强，从来没有这样的，直到以后，直到万代也必没有。Eric?
Yes.
In our Chinese version, the day of the Lord, is translated into the day of Jehovah. Is it okay?
The same thing that, yeah, the day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah. Yes.
我刚才跟 Eric 确认了一下，因为我们和合本里面呢，把主的日子翻译成耶和华的日子，然后 Eric 说呢，都是一样的，这两个都是一致的，都是指一回事。
In our English Bible, the Lord, meaning Jehovah,is all in capital letters to distinguish it.
所以在这个英文的圣经里面呢，当这个主啊是指耶和华神的时候呢，它是四个字母，就是 L-O-R, D 呢都是大写，四个字母都是大写。如果它是指主耶稣的时候呢，是 L 大写，O-R-D 不是大写。所以当大家看到四个字母都大写的时候呢，就是指耶和华。
Let's look at a couple of other places. Zephaniah chapter 1.
我们再看看西番雅书的一章。
Zephaniah is a book almost exclusively given to the day of the Lord, or day of Jehovah.
西番雅书这卷书呢，基本上讲的全部都是主的日子，或者说是耶和华的日子。
Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 7.
第七节。
Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord or day of Jehovah is at hand. For the Lord has prepared his sacrifice and he has invited his guests.
你要在主耶和华面前静默无声，因为耶和华的日子快到，耶和华已经预备祭物，将他的客分别为圣。
And then verses 14 to 16.
我们再看14到16节。
The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers.
14-16节啊。耶和华的大日临近，临近而且甚快，乃是耶和华日子的风声，勇士必痛痛的哭嚎。那日是愤怒的日子，是极难困苦的日子，是荒废凄凉的日子，是黑暗幽冥密云乌黑的日子，是吹角呐喊的日子，要攻击坚固城和高大的城楼。
And then it turned to Zechariah, the last passage we'll quickly look at, Zechariah chapter 14.
我们看的最后一个经文的例子呢是撒迦利亚书14章。
Behold, the day of Jehovah is coming, or the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. And I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, and so on. And so forth. Then in verse 4, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and so on. You can read that chapter in its entirety.
撒迦利亚书的14章，先读第一节，耶和华的日子临近，你的财物必被抢掠，在你中间分散，因为我必聚集万国与耶路撒冷征战，成必被攻取等等等等。我们再看第四节啊，那日他的脚必站在耶路撒冷前面朝东的橄榄山上，这山必从中间分裂，自东至西成为极大的谷等等等等。他整个这十四章一章都是在讲这个耶和华的日子。
Now, we don't have time to comment on those passages, but it would be good for you to study them for yourselves.And satisfy yourself that that day, the day of Jehovah, the day of the Lord, they speak plainly. Oh, I better let you translate that first.
今天我们没有时间呢，一节一节去解释这些经文呢，大家可以自己看。你看完了这些经文，你就明白这个耶和华的日子是指什么了。
That what we read about the day of Jehovah.Speaks plainly about events on earth, and it involves Israel and the nations.
我们刚才读的这所有的关于耶和华的日子啊，它都是一个在地上发生的事件，它呢涉及到以色列人和地上的万国。
And remember one of the ways in which you interpret the scriptures is literally.You'll notice that those scriptures specify geographical locations.
对，我们还记得我们讲过一个解经的原则，那就是按字面解经的原则。所以我们看这些经文呢，写的都非常具体，甚至包括这个具体的地理位置在哪里都讲了。
Those scriptures speak about Israel, the land. It speaks aboutcountries, Moab, Ammon, literal countries.
这些关于耶和华日子的经文呢，提到以色列这个国家，还提到亚门、摩押这些具体的国家。
It talks about sites like Zion and the temple.
他也提到一些具体的地点，比如说锡安山和圣殿。
God's holy mountain and the Mount of Olives.
提到神的圣山，也提到橄榄山。
And notice the character of the day of Jehovah.
我们注意看这个耶和华日子的这个人物是谁。
It's associated with judgment, with wrath, destruction, and all the terror that's produced by those things.
不是这个日子的人物，是这个日子的特点是什么呢？它涉及到愤怒，涉及到审判，涉及到恐怖，涉及到惊吓等等。
It's a terrible picture.
是一个非常可怕的一个画面。
And you find that all coming to completion in Daniel's 70th week in the in the 7 years of the tribulation period.
然后这个关于这些预言呢都是在但以理书的最后一个期七十个期的这七年里面应验的。
There's a few references to the day of the Lord in the New Testament as well.
在新约里面呢也有几次提到这主的日子。
And they're consistent with what we read in the Old Testament.
和我们刚才读的旧约里面的经文是完全一致的。
First Thessalonians chapter 5.
帖撒罗尼迦前书的五章
verses 1-3
一到三节
But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them.As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
弟兄们，论到时候日期，不用写信给你们，因为你们自己明明晓得，主的日子来到，好像夜间的贼一样。人正说平安稳妥的时候，灾祸忽然临到他们，如同产难临到怀胎的妇人一样，他们绝不能逃脱。
Second Peter chapter 3 verse 10.
再看看彼得后书三章第十节。
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. We'll comment on that verse later. Let's just lay that aside for the moment.
三章十节，但主的日子要像贼来到一样，那日天必大有响声废去，有形质的都要被烈火消化。地和其上的物都要烧尽了。我们等一下呢，会来具体解释这些经文。我们暂时先把它放一放。
Now, down through history, various, historical features like those of the day of the Lord have seen, but they haven't been fulfillments of the prophecy.
在人类的历史上呢，我们多次看到类似主的这样的主日子的这样的恐怖的日子的事件，但是呢，这主的日子的预言没有完全的应验。
They're merely foreshadowings, we might say. Just as a great object casts a shadow before it, so the great events sometimes, have shadows that, of events that appear, as a foreshadowing.
我们可以把这些人类历史上的这些过去发生的灾难呢看作是一个预言或者是一个影子，因为一个巨大的物体呢来之前呢它总是它的影子先来。
For example, Peter connected the events on the day of Pentecost, with Joel's prophecy.We didn't read it, but you can turn to Acts chapter 2 and we'll just quickly look at that.
比如说呢在使徒行传的二章呢彼得曾经把这五旬节呢和约珥书的二章的预言呢联系起来。
Verse 16.
使徒行传的二章十六节。
This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says the God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and so on.
这正是先知约珥所说的，神说在末后的日子，我要将我的灵浇灌凡有血气的，等等等等。
Now he quotes Joel, not to say that the prophecy was fulfilled, because it wasn't, as you'll see down in verse 19 and 20. The signs were not there. This was just a foreshadowing. It was a pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost to a selected group of people in Jerusalem at that time.
所以彼得在这里引用约珥书的预言呢，并不是说约珥书的预言在那一天就应验了，因为我们可以看到19节和20节里面说的这些所有的这个兆头啊，神迹奇事当天都没有显明。所以彼得呢在这里提出这个引用这个约珥书的预言呢，只是从某一个方面，就是圣灵浇灌在地上一些被拣选的人的身上这一件事情，也就是这个大事件，就是主的这个日子大事件的一个前奏，一个前面发生的影子。
But at the end of the tribulation period, when the Lord Jesus comes in power and glory, after the signs that we read about in verses 19 and 20, then the Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh on the world.
当大灾难末期啊，就是这些所有的19节、20节的这些事情都发生的时候，主耶稣基督再来这地上的时候呢，那个时候圣灵会浇灌在凡有血气的人身上，就完全应验。
So Peter didn't say that the prophecy had been fulfilled. He just said that this is the Spirit that will be poured out at the end of the tribulation.
彼得呢在这里并没有说约珥书的预言就完全应验了，他只是说呢约珥预言的这个将要浇灌下来这个圣灵呢今天已经浇灌在我们这些人的身上了，是同一个圣灵。
Now, how long will the day of the Lord last?
那主的日子会持续多长时间呢？
The day of the Lord begins when the Lord Jesus begins to open the seals after the rapture.
这个日子呢是从教会被提以后主耶稣揭开七印开始的。
And if you turn with me to 2 Peter again, chapter 3, verse 10.
我们再翻回到彼得后书的三章十节，就刚才读过的那一节。
This is an interesting verse.
这是一个很有趣的经文啊。
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's the beginning of the day of the Lord.
他这里说主的日子要像贼来到一样，这个呢是主的日子的开头。
And then it says, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up.
然后接着他说，那日天必大有响声废去，有形质的都要被烈火消化，地和其上的物都要烧尽了。
So the beginning of the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night.
所以最初呢，主的日子开头的时候呢，是像贼来到一样的。
And the close of the day of the Lord is when the earth and the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise.
然后这个日子的末了的时候呢，就是天和地和其上的物都要过去的，都要烧尽了，这个情况的发生。
So this passage gives us the whole length of the day of the Lord.
所以呢，这一节经文呢，就告诉我们这主的日子从头到尾，这整个过程是怎样的。
So it begins with God's sudden and unexpected intervention in the world.
所以它是以神呢，就是不知不觉的突然的来到开始的。
And as you read the Old Testament, the day of the Lord there includes the 1,000-year reign of Christ.
当你去读旧约的时候呢，你就会明白，这个主的日子呢，是包括这他在1000年里的统治的。
It includes his whole entire reign over the world for that 1,000 years.
是包含了他在这一千年当中啊，对这个全地的所有的统治的，全部的统治的。
And then it includes the great white throne judgment.
然后最后呢，还包括那个白色大宝座的审判。
And then will be concluded the events of the day of the Lord and the day of God then commences, the eternal state. We'll look at that in a minute.
然后主的日子是结束的时候呢，就是神的日子开始，就是进到永恒了。这个我们等一会儿就会看到。
Now the day of Christ, we've seen the day of the Lord. What about the day of Christ?
好，我们刚刚学习了什么是主的日子，那么基督的日子又是什么呢？
It's also called the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
也叫这个主耶稣基督的日子。
The day of our Lord Jesus.
或者说主耶稣的日子。
The day of Jesus Christ.
或者说基督耶稣基督的日子。
And the day of Christ.
或者基督的日子，这都是一个意思。
And so, if we want to avoid to be confused, a clear distinction must be drawn between the day of the Lord and the day of Christ.
我们为了避免混淆呢，我们一定要把这个主的日子和基督的日子这两个概念分清楚。
The day of Christ is exclusively a New Testament theme.
基督的日子呢，是一个完完全全的这个新约的概念。
It's never mentioned in the Old Testament.
在旧约里面从来没有提到。
The day of Christ covers the same ground as his coming for his people.
这基督的日子呢，就是和他为他自己的人而来是同一件事情。
And we're going to compare some scriptures later on to show that.
我们等一会儿呢会查考一些经文来证明这一点。
Now again, a day is not just one single day. It can be a long period of time.
我们刚才前面讲了在神看来的一日呢并不是指我们地上的一天，它可能会指一个相当长的一段时期。
And just to remind ourselves that the word the coming of the Lord or the parousia means an arrival,and a subsequent presence with.
所以我们要记得我们一开始就讲过降临这个词啊或者再来这个词啊它是不仅仅是来那一下的动作而是指到达以及后面所持续的停留的时期。
So, the coming expresses one side of the truth, that's the rapture.
它来那在那一个时点呢就是指一个事件单一的事件就是教会被提。
But his presence with is, that expresses the other one, the actual time spent with the person.
那他来以后的这个同在呢或者说停留这个时间呢就是延续一段时间了就后面会发生很多事情。
Remember the Lord's promise, I will come again and receive you to myself.That's the first part.
我们要记得主耶稣基督的应许，他说我来，要来接你们到我那里去。这个是他的来的，他降临的第一个部分。
That where I am, there you may be also. That's the presence.
然后接着他说我在哪里，你们也要在那里。这个呢，就是指他和我们同在的那个时期了。
Now we're going to, the coming of the Lord and the day of Christ, we're going to, are identical in the scriptures. And we're going to look at some scriptures for that.
从圣经里面看呢，主降临或者是主再来和基督的日子呢，是一致，是同一个概念。我们可以看一些经文。
So the coming of Christ for his church and the day of Christ,They are the same period. Let's look at.
主来为他的教会而来和基督的日子是同一个就是是同一件事是同一段时期。
Second Corinthians chapter 1.
我们看看哥林多后书一章。
And verse 14.
一章十四节哥林多后书一章十四节。
As also you have understood us in part that we are your boast or our glorying or rejoicing as you are, as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus.
正如你们已经有几分认识我们，以我们夸口，好像我们在我们主耶稣的日子以你们夸口一样。
Now keep your finger on that place and turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:19.
这个地方不要翻掉啊，我们等一会儿回来再翻到帖撒罗尼迦前书的2:19。
We're going to compare these two verses. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
我们要比较这两节经文啊，我们看看帖撒罗尼迦前书的1:19。我们的盼望和喜乐并所夸的冠冕是什么呢？岂不是我们主耶稣来的时候你们在他面前站立得住吗？
And he goes on to say in verse 20, for you are our glory and joy.
然后20节他接着说，因为你们就是我们的荣耀，我们的喜乐。
That is, Paul was in, when he mentions the day of Christ, he was looking forward to the joy of the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ.
所以保罗在提到 主耶稣的日子的时候呢，他盼望的是有荣耀和喜乐的。
And it's the same attitude of mind when he mentions the coming of Christ. The day of Christ and the coming of Christ, they refer to the same event.
所以保罗在提到主耶稣再来我们应该抱的态度的时候呢，也是同样的，也是我们带着盼望和带着喜乐等候的，所以这两个呢是一件事。
And Philippians chapter 2 verse 16 expresses the same thought.
我们再看腓立比书的2:16也表达了同样的这个思想。
He says, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain.
腓立比书2:16，将生命的道表明出来，叫我在基督的日子好夸我没有空跑，也没有徒劳。
There he's expressing the fact that they would be his joy and rejoicing and glory at the judgment seat of Christ.
所以他表达的意思呢，就是这些信徒啊，就是在主耶在基督的日子呢，就是他的喜乐。是他的荣耀，他的夸口的之处。
1 Corinthians 1:8.
再看看哥林多前书的1:8。
We have to read from verse 4, for our connection.
我们要从四节开始读啊，让帮助我们来知道这上下文的连接是什么。
I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
四节到八节，我常为你们感谢我的神，因神在基督耶稣里所赐给你们的恩惠，又因你们在他里面凡事富足，口才知识都全备，正如我为基督做的见证，在你们心里得以坚固，以致你们在恩赐上没有一样不及人的。等候我们的主耶稣基督显现，他也必坚固你们到底。叫你们在我们主耶稣基督的日子无可责备。
There we see in verse 7, his coming again. Verse 8, it's in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
所以你看我们在第七节里面呢，就看到了主耶稣基督显现，然后在第八节呢，就提到了主耶稣基督的日子。
Now we don't have time because our time is gone. There's some other connections that we could make to show you, but the day of Christ and the coming of the Lord for his church are identical in the scriptures.
所以我们没有时间了，本来还可以再给大家举一些经文的证据哈。总的一个结论呢，就是基督的日子和基督为他的教会而来，这是两件完，这两件事是完全一致的，就是一件事。
So if we combine the scriptures from both groups, both that reference the day of Christ or the day of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Lord for his church, if we combine those two, they form a picture together of the day of Christ.
所以如果我们把基督的日子的相关的经文和主耶稣为他的教会而来这些经文呢合在一起呢，我们就可以看到一个基督的日子的一个全貌了。
And it's very clear that the day of Christ is a complete contrast to the day of the Lord or the day of Jehovah.
所以有一点非常清楚，就是基督的日子和主的日子或者说耶和华的日子是完全不一样的，是完全相对立的两个概念。
Maybe we could put up that on the screen now.
Okay.
Here's seven different contrasts concerning the day of Christ with the day of the Lord.
我们这个在分享的屏幕上哈，就列举了这个基督的日子和耶和华的日子，审判的日子的七点不同之处。
Now we won't have time, we'll take time to go through them. We can leave them up there, and you can either take a screenshot or a picture, or we can get that information to you some other time.
我们今天没有时间一一来解释了，大家可以拍下来或者截屏啊，然后我们以后可以找时间再一一来解释。
But if you compare the character of the day of the Lord with its wrath, with the judgment, with the day of Christ, with its joy and anticipation of glory, there could not be a greater contrast between the two events.
所以当我们看这两个日子的这个特点哈，耶和华的日子或者主的日子呢，它是一个愤怒的日子，然后基督的日子呢，是一个喜乐的日子，是我们盼望得荣耀的日子。就这简简单单这两个特征的比较呢，就是一个很好的对比了，是一个强烈的对比。
The last day we must make a brief comment on doesn't require much.And that is the day of God.
我们最后一个要讲的日子呢，就是神的日子。
It's only found once in Scripture, the name. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12.
这个呢，只出现过一次呢，就是在彼得后书的三章十二节。
We read there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because...of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat.
切切仰望神的日子来到，在那日，天被火烧就消化了，有形质的都要被烈火融化。
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
第十三节，但我们照他的应许，盼望新天新地，有义居在其中。
The word dwells, righteousness dwells. That means righteousness will be at home there. There will be the new heavens and the new earth. God's perfect will have been carried out. In the day of God, in the new heavens and the new earth, everything is going to be perfectly in order.To God's eternal purpose.
这里面有一居在其中啊，这个居呢就是像回家了的这个意思一样，就是这个义啊就以此为家了，就这个在新天新地里面呢，这个神的旨意就完全的达成了。在新天新地的时候呢，所有的一切都是完全的完美的按照神的旨意去执行的。
So the order in which these days will come about is first of all, the day of Christ.
所以我们说的这三个日子呢，是按照这样的顺序，先后顺序发生的，首先是基督的日子。
When Christ receives from the Father, is presented to, the church is presented to the Son,And the wedding takes place.
这基督的日子呢就包括三件事，一个呢是教会被提，然后呢是新娘献给新郎，就是教会献给耶稣，然后呢就是羔羊的婚礼。
Then right after or shortly after the day of the Lord begins.
然后很快不久呢就是那个主的日子了，就是耶和华的日子了。
Where the earth is going to be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
然后地上呢就要预备好，等到预备好迎接基督的再来。
And he will reign for 1,000 years.
他会统治1,000年。
And after the 1,000 years, he's going to give up the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please.
然后在这1,000年的结束呢，他会把国度交还给父神，就是哥林多前书的15章。
Verse 24.
24节。
Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death.For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. That will be the day of God.
24-28节，在后末期到了，那时基督即将一切执政的、掌权的、有能的都毁灭了，就把国交与父神，因为基督必要作王，等神把一切仇敌都放在他的脚下，尽末了所毁灭的仇敌就是死，因为经上说，神叫万物都伏在他的脚下，既说万物都伏了他，明显那叫万物伏他的不在其内了，万物既伏了他，那时子也要自己伏那叫万物伏他的。叫神在万物之上为万物之主，那个时候就是接着就是神的日子了。
I do apologize for the amount of material that we had to go through tonight, but if you have any questions, please send them to Halong or Yan Ling, and we will try and answer any questions that you might have on these topics.
我今天有一点抱歉啊，因为今天的讲的内容特别的多。如果大家呢关于这些有什么问题的话呢，可以把问题告诉何浪或者我都可以，我们会转交给长老，然后长老会很乐意回答。
And I'll finish with Peter's words. Wherefore, beloved, that's 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14.
我们最后呢用彼得的一句话来结束啊，就是彼得后书的3:14。
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, be give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight.
亲爱的弟兄啊，你们既盼望这些事，就当殷勤，使自己没有玷污，无可指摘，安然见主。
Thank you, Mr. Summers, please.
好，我们现在请Harold 长老。
Amen. Thank you, Eric. There are some things in Scripture that confuse many, but they don't need to confuse many. And the Lord makes clear distinctions And tonight we've been presented with those clear distinctions.
圣经里头有一些内容呢是很多人都很困惑，但实际上我们没有必要困惑，因为这圣经把这些都给区分得很清楚了。今天呢我们就把其中一些呢容易混淆的一些概念都把它分解清楚了。
And to understand the distinctions is wonderful. As you read scripture now, you'll find when you see the day of the Lord, you know what it's talking about. When you see the day of Christ, you know what that is talking about. And it will help you, encourage you, and it'll bless you.
所以把这几个概念分清楚呢，对我们非常有帮助。以后我们读圣经的时候，当读到基督的日子呢，你就会知道指的是什么；读到主的日子呢，你会知道是指什么，就会对你非常的有帮助，会大大的鼓励你。
So we're very fortunate that the Lord has made these things known to us.
所以我们非常的幸运啊，神使这一切呢都让我们知道的清清楚楚，明明白白。
Let's pray and give him thanks.
我们一起祷告，感谢他。
Lord, we do thank you that there is this distinction, but far more than that, we thank you that the day of the Lord is not something that we look forward to.
主啊，我们感谢你，你把这些概念都区分得非常清楚。我们更感谢您的是，主的日子并不是我们所期待的。
It is a day of judgment on the earth, but those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior will be in heaven when the judgment falls.
因为主的日子是在地上审判的日子，当那个事情发生的时候呢，我们这些人都会在天上了。
And just as Noah was in the ark of safety when the judgment of the flood came, so we will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus in that ark of safety when the judgment falls upon the earth.
就像挪亚的时代，当神用洪水审判全地的时候，挪亚已经安全的藏在方舟当中了。我们也是一样，当主的日子神愤怒的惩罚全地的时候呢，我们已经安全的藏在天上，藏在基督里面了。
And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. We thank thee, Lord, for making the way so simple. He who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved.
主耶稣啊，我们感谢你为我们而死。神啊，我们也感谢你使这救恩的方法如此的简单。所有一切信靠主耶稣基督的人，他们就能得救。
Lord, we thank you for telling us these things. Help us believe it, we pray. How foolish to reject these marvelous truths.
主，我们感谢您告诉我们这些道理。我们更求您能够帮助我们相信，拒绝这救恩是多么愚蠢的事啊。
So Lord, we just give thanks again. You're good to us, you're kind, and we pray that we might just believe and obey you.
主，我们再次献上感恩，为你的良善，为你的慈爱，求您带领我们，让我们更加的顺服，更加的相信。
Bless us each one, Lord, we pray, until we meet again next week.
主啊，在我们下周再次见面之前呢，求您祝福我们每一位。
And we give thanks now in Jesus' name.
我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you all tonight. May the Lord